Thanks for tuning in to the Sporting Goods 365. I am your sports guru, Steve Harder. We got this March Madness edition. But first, I got my homegirl back in the studio with me. My homegirl co-host, Miss Mullins. What's good, Miss?
What's up, what's up, what's up?
You've been running them streets checking out high school sports, man.
I've been checking out high school sports. And as you know, I've also been traveling, doing different college visits with my son. So.
That's what's up. We're gonna hear about that in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's up. We got a great show on tap today. We're going to talk about Darren Sharper, man. Yeah. I feel some type of way about this dude. For real, though.
I got one word. Psycho.
Oh, man. This is ridiculous, man. This is ridiculous. We talking about AI. They talking about the answer might be in the front office in Philly. I'm going to see what you think about that. I think mm-hmm. that'd be great.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Marcus Mariota. I hear he scares some folks.
Yeah.
We're going to find out. He's a smart kid, but I hear he scares some folks.
Mm-hmm.
What will Steve do? I am LeBron James today.
Okay.
I am a Cleveland Cavalier. We are headed to the playoffs for the first time in a few years. What would I do?
Okay.
Then we're talking March Madness. We got live updates. It's going on here in the studio today. We got the Michigan State-Virginia game going on. We talking NCAA men's. We're going to see what's going on with the women's. We got a hot show today, Miss. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm in basketball overload, so I'm ready.
Okay, well, let's get this out the way.
Okay.
Darren Sharper.
I mean, you have to laugh frustrated.
Let's catch people up.
Okay.
Darren Sharper retired from the NFL in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
He was the free safety for the New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He was previously, I think he was Green Bay.
He was in a couple of different.
Yeah, you know, had a successful career, did a great job. Well, he's been raping people, and he's been in jail.
He ain't just been raping people. He's been drugging and raping people.
Yeah, the old school slip him a Mickey. This is amazing. You know, I just don't get it. You know,
I'm not understanding it too. Darren Sharper is a very attractive. As far as looking,
he has money.
He has money. He has obviously charisma for to be getting these multiple women.
Is prostitution legal in Vegas?
In certain areas of Nevada, it's legal. It's actually not in Vegas.
But he's a millionaire, right?
Yeah.
So he got money to burn.
Yeah. So, but that was just it, and that's why there's no other answer for me other than he is just a psychopath. Just because there's just no reason. And frankly, I'm sure there are enough women that could just be throwing it at him if he asked. So
the older I done got, the more I done realized that whatever you're into,
yes,
is somebody else that's
there's someone that's out there that's into it. Yes.
No matter how silly or goofy, you like monkeys and whatever you do, is somebody else that's
doing it. Trust me, there's a website for all of it. And I'm like, if he would have just reached out, I probably could have gave it to him. But, you know, this is just crazy.
He's been in jail since February 27th, 2014 in LA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here's the list that I done came up with real quickly, just scanning. It was two women in LA in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are raping and drugging.
Yes.
No, I'll take that back. Raping. It's sexual assault,
yes.
Whatever you want to call that. Two women in L.A. in 2013. Three women in New Orleans in 2013. Three women in Arizona that he drugged, but two women in Arizona that he sexually assaulted.
Yes.
So, figure that out.
Yeah.
He got some federal charges coming from New Orleans. He had a 14-year NFL career.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the instances that I saw coming out of Las Vegas was he went clubbing with, allegedly, let's put this, even though I'm hearing he's pleading this Monday, tomorrow.
Yes.
Went clubbing with two female tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Took them to his hotel room, drugged them, and sexually assaulted them while they were unconscious. Come on, man.
I guess the problem I have just...
Come on, man.
Beyond... The charges, you know, that he's already pled.
Oh, man.
So he's guilty of these charges. It's just, like I said, this is a 14-year all-pro career NFL player. Money is not the problem here. Looks ain't even the problem here.
So, he ain't bad on the eyes?
No, he ain't bad on the eyes. That's what kind of pissed me off. But he wasn't bad on the eyes when I really got to looking at it. Like, well, dang. Because, I mean, I just, we know there's always that female out there that's willing to give it for free.
A deal.
And so,
involving at least 9 women.
Yes.
In 4 different states. L.A., Phoenix, New Orleans, and Las Vegas.
Yeah. And that was just it. It's like, because there were different jurisdictions, they were able to make it a federal case against them because they were able to show a pattern. And so, I mean, it was a pattern. I mean, like I said, we're talking psychopath. Remember, I studied serial killers in college. We're talking about psychopath. And the thing is, though, is that had he not got caught, there would have been no surprise to me if murder wasn't the next, because that's just where he was leading as far as to feel the need to drug and sexually assault all these women for what? What were you getting out of it? What was the next step? The only next step after that was violence.
Was a violent act.
Yes.
And this is a violent act. Let's not.
And that was just it. This is a very violent act.
This is a violent act. You know what I mean? Of course, I'm not a woman, but I can imagine being unconscious and imagining somebody taking advantage of you.
Yes. I mean, it's just crazy to me. It's just crazy, and it's just unnecessary. Because, like I said, there's way too many women out there just willing to sling it for free. So.
Allen Iverson, 76ers.
Yes.
We're hearing a whisper that it might be interested. Some 76er front office people might be interested in him as being, you know, getting some form of a front office position. What do you think about that?
I think it'd be good. Allen Iverson had
what?
Honestly, I think he'd be good working with the players in what not to do.
I mean, because we can't forget and we can't downsize the importance of practice.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that was just it.
It was a joke back then, but now those words could come back to haunt him.
Yeah. So, I mean, but my thing is that to be a player, I don't know, I'm going to say mentor, but, you know, to work with the players, not just about things on the court, but off the court. As well, he can just use himself as an example.
I listened to Stephen A. Smith on ESPN First Take.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, But I like Stephen A.
Yeah,
He started his career pretty much in Philly, and him and Allen Iverson that's his dude. You know, and he made a valid point that makes good sense. Allen Iverson would be great into scouting talent.
Yeah, now I do believe that.
Finding a player that got heart, you know, because you can smell that.
Yeah.
A next talent, sometimes it's hard for them to gauge a player athletically. You know, Jordan sucked at it when he was the general manager in Washington and every place else. But he can find a player with heart.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson played hard, and he can see a player who got it and who doesn't have it.
Yeah, because Philly needs some help. Philly needs some help in that area.
But would that be a good investment? Is that enough? I mean, because I know there's a bunch of other players that could do that
more. But the thing is that Allen Iverson was Philly. I mean, that was just it. That was the last time, really, that, you know, Philly was on top was when he was playing, or at least had some success was when he was playing. So, recognized
It's almost like bringing him back home.
Yeah. Bringing him back home. The face of Philly. You know, that was just it. And like I said, so I don't think it's a bad thing.
But it has to be more, like, we're in an era that, you know, everybody's promotional.
Well,
you know, you can always, enough money, you can get somebody here to take a picture. But at the end of the day, if you ain't winning, it didn't work.
Exactly. And the thing is, right now, Philly ain't winning. Philly is just, one place ahead of the Knicks?
No.
So, I mean, it's like...
But, and that's what I'm saying. With them in that position, what really could he do? I mean, just honestly, what really could he do? He could go sit in a few camps. He could go sit in a few games and say, this guy might be...
Yeah. I mean, good. Well, he could help with the recruiting, but I do believe he could actually help with the players that they have.
Help them do what?
I don't know.
If they don't have
get
heart.
Some heart. That's just
You know, that's what I'm saying. Allen Iverson is such a talent. that you know, I don't want to just,
because I mean that's lacking to me. That's lacking across the NBA is a lot of these players just don't have the heart. They ain't willing to put themselves out there.
I don't even think it's necessarily the heart. I just think, and this is a whole another subject. I just think they're leaving college too soon, and they're still kids.
Yeah, well,
they're not. True. They're not even done developing.
That's true.
They're going to NBA camps with Tonka trucks and mm-hmm. Hot Wheel race cars. They're mm-hmm. they're still kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that got a lot to do with it. But I think Allen would be good, but you just have to find the right place for him.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it, though, is that they bring him on board. And that was just it. I mean, that was just, I think he should be more than just a face.
He's not.
But, I mean, like I said, you bring him on, see where, you know, bring him on, see where he's a good fit. See where he's, you know, going to be able to contribute, you know, in that front office position. Because I think there may be a couple different positions.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't hurt. You know, it wouldn't hurt. He deserves a shot. He's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Definitely. And it's coming out of Philly. So he definitely deserves a shot. I just hope he makes it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get your first chance in order to get your second chance.
Yes.
But I just hope that he seizes this opportunity. And I think he will.
Yeah.
This isn't the same answer from practice.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Mariota. I'm hearing a buzz. I'm starting to hear a buzz that I heard this coming out of Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just sources, just with me going through the various media outlets that, you know, his personality is starting to kind of question a few teams. Famous Jamin is more of outgoing, or how you doing, somebody you want to be around.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota is more of a quiet,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if lead by example is the right word.
Yeah, but I even saw it was more than just that. You know, it's not even so much from what I understand, you know, that reserve type personality, you know, I don't trust people who don't talk either. But
this is a big draft pick. You know, you're not going to waste money on
that. And that was just it. You don't want to waste money on draft pick. But it's more than just that from what I've been saying with the scouts. It's also just where he came from. Yeah, he threw up major numbers at Oregon. Major numbers.
I'm hearing some it might be his culture.
But Oregon ran a real simple offense. I mean, that was just it. You know, they had, you know, Oregon is known for their track runners. And they would send receivers down the field.
I don't trust that.
And that was just it.
I never trusted.
So, I mean, so in, you know, in a, what's it called, shotgun, no problem. It wouldn't have no problem. But, you know, NFL is much more than a shotgun.
Yeah, you ain't going to waste no pick on no quarterback just to sit in the shotgun.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just fly
I mean,
out.
That's just it.
You can't throw that good. You got to be outside of the pocket to throw.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to win.
Yeah.
You know, so, I understand.
Like I said, what I heard was they were more concerned about, you know, him being able to handle the 3 and 5-step passing.
And so, you know what? I think he would. He could have success. But I don't want to draft him first.
Yeah.
No. I need you to sit behind somebody.
No.
I mean, I need you to sit behind the Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll take you sit behind Kaepernick and.
Yeah, because he has a whole lot of learning.
He has a whole lot of learning to do
before he's ready to really step on that stage to be.
I understand that a leader isn't always vocal.
Yes.
But your actions, you know, you just can't be the quietest in the room.
Mm hmm.
You know, either Tom Brady will get on that sideline and cuss you out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's got to be something that makes them want to follow you.
Yeah.
A fight in you. And I don't see him with that. And I don't think it's his personality to do that.
Yeah. And that was just it. I mean, he just went out there and kind of did what he, you know, did. And like I said, but it was real simple. Oregon's offense, I mean, it was exciting. Don't get me wrong. Because the long passes, the receiving, everything else like that, the numbers. I mean, that was exciting, you know, to watch because it was more like, you know, a run and gun type.
I'm giving the Tennessee Titans general manager, the Jets,
mm-hmm.
I'm giving them free game.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they get this, miss.
Okay.
Don't waste your draft pick on Mariota.
Okay.
Use him as trade bait.
Yep.
Philly wants him. Let Chip Kelly have him.
Yeah.
First of all, the quarterbacks stay hurt. And you can't tell me that they're not going to smack him and he's going to miss a bunch of games.
Oh, yeah.
Get you some draft picks from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Get you some solid positions filled and watch this Philly ship sink.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste your draft pick on him. That's free game.
Yeah.
If anybody knows the general manager in Philly in Tennessee or in the Jets, make sure he gets that information.
Yeah.
Because that's free game.
Yeah, it is.
What would Steve do, miss?
All right, you're LeBron.
I am King James.
All right.
The Cavs haven't been to the playoffs since 2014.
Yep.
We're finally there. I got a bunch of newbies. Kevin Love ain't never been there. You know, I got some experience with some Sean Marions, but Kyrie, I got a bunch of inexperience. I got Perkins there to help out. What do I do?
Okay.
I almost have a slumber party with these cats every night. My house is bigger than a Walmart.
Yeah.
Y'all pack a bag and come on, y'all spending the night with me. We're going to develop a brotherhood right now, a friendship, a camaraderie that they've never had before.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell them everything that I know, every experience that I've went through, every tough situation, how I felt. I'm going to give them so much game that practice isn't enough time.
Yeah.
You have to lead these boys. You have to lead them. They're not prepared right now.
He definitely has to take that leadership role. When LeBron now, you know, his stint down in Miami has been through, you know, that championship run and everything else like that. So he has that experience in them clutch games and whatever.
He has to talk to him.
He has to talk to him. He has to take that leadership role.
He has to become a big brother to him. He has to develop a relationship with them where they believe it. I mean, they believe in LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you have to... Every time we on the court, I believe that he's not going to let us down because I'm going to do everything that I can to help him.
Yeah.
Because I believe in him. You know, and that's going to be a special relationship that's going to have to develop outside the court as well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how many free throws.
I mean, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, in the game of basketball, trust is a big thing.
Trust is huge.
Trust is huge.
Trust is huge.
And they got to be able to trust LeBron.
Because he's been there.
Because he's been there. And they need to listen. And so, yeah.
But what does Kevin Love do? We're talking about a guy who's sacrificed it all now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's really sometimes not getting in the court. Sometimes he's having his great games, but, you know, it's not unusual for him to be sitting in the fourth. This is the first time he's ever made it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This is the first time they've ever talked about Kevin Love in the playoffs, except for not going. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is it.
But the thing is, though, is that some people step up. I mean, that was just one of those things. You know, this is their time.
And
this
you
is
their not time. You are not guaranteed to come back.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
I think they'll do fine.
I'm concerned, miss. Because, you know, Kyrie, I like him. He's one of the most explosive players in the league.
Yes.
But he's always two shots from shooting too much. You know what I'm saying? And with anticipation,
you can't make them if you don't shoot. So you gotta put them up there.
Just nerves get going. You want to do too much, and you're trying to win so bad.
Well, the thing is, but you gotta keep in mind where Kyrie had been before LeBron came back. He was a man, and he was, you know, putting it all on his shoulders before. So it's hard to get out of that when you got some help now. So it's hard to get out of that mode.
LeBron now if you're the coach? Look, we talking about LeBron like they ain't got no coach.
Yeah. LeBron is the coach.
What's his name again?
LeBron is the coach. Not the name. Okay, well, LeBron is the coach.
LeBron is the coach. If you're LeBron, do you rest yourself? You can.
I don't think you can.
You can.
You have to go hard. The thing about it, though, is that you got to build that relationship on the court just as well as off the court. And the only way to be able to build that trust is to be out there playing with them.
And play hard.
And show them how to play hard.
And hopefully, if all things go right, you should be coming into the playoffs playing at a high level and at the top of your game, and everyone is at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you your best opportunity for success.
Yes.
I like it. I hope it works. I believe. I'm not sure. Because sometimes Kevin Love looks like a deer in headlights. Not just in the game. I'm talking about just even when they're interviewing him after the game. After, he just seems like it's not comfortable to him.
He always looked like that. I mean, he always looked like that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
March Madness, miss. Here we go. It's been amazing, man. It is truly.
This is why I love college basketball. This tournament right here.
It's not
even
one of
though
the best
they
so
go
far.
Through the whole hoopla with the selection and everything else like that, and the
seedings
and everything else like that. You know, but that's just it. Honestly, them numbers mean nothing
in this
tournament. These players are coming in and they're giving all they got.
Well, you know what does? I kind of disagree with you on that a little bit. Seeding means something.
I mean,
because a team like Michigan State should not have been the seventh seed.
Yeah, seventh seed.
Come on, man.
But don't get me wrong. Georgia didn't have a chance. I believe Murray State should have been in it.
Georgia didn't have a chance.
Yeah. I believe Murray State should have been, should have gotten one of the picks. And so, not no play-in either. I think they should have been part of the original, So, seeding means, okay.
It means
when
something.
When I say it doesn't mean something, what I'm saying is a team that's, 16th seed.
Coastal Carolina. They played Wisconsin and, of course, lost.
Of course,
lost by 14. They only lost by 14.
But they played hard with them. Wisconsin wore them down.
Okay.
I mean, that was just it. And that's with a lot of them. A lot of them, it is about just wearing the team down because they stayed with them. But you've seen all these upsets.
Yeah.
Some of them, to me, I don't consider upsets. Duke, just because of the seedings.
Duke broke another record.
Yeah.
100 NCAA tournament win. Coach K keeps racking them in.
He does, even without that player. But Duke just has that tradition.
Tradition don't win games, though. Talent does.
That's what I'm saying. They have that tradition of talent.
Too far.
I think they'll be out.
You know what I enjoyed yesterday?
The Elite Eight.
You think they will?
I don't think they'll go past the Elite Eight.
Oh, they might not get there. Yeah. To me. You know what I enjoyed yesterday? I enjoyed that Cincinnati and Kentucky.
Okay.
Kentucky to me is a good team.
Yes.
They're young. They have some players now that've been here before, and they see the finish line. So this ain't the same old Kentucky that's just you.
Yes.
But Cincinnati did something to me that I didn't see too many teams do. Played them.
Yeah.
They made them play on both ends of the court. And if Cincinnati could have hit threes,
I told folks, it was like, that matchup with Cincinnati, I'm like, Cincinnati going to come out to play.
Like, hit a three. And for whatever reason, they just seem to not be able to hit a three.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing a little buzz out of Louisville, Coach Rick Pitino. He ain't never been one to shy away from words. Somebody threw a mic in his face. And he kind of threw a little shade on Kentucky's program.
Okay, yeah.
He said he said he felt like high school players should be able to go straight to the league if you want to. If you're able to do it, D-League, whatever, you should be able to do it. But he said Kentucky and John Calipari might not feel the same since that's pretty much how he eats. That's who he uses.
Yeah.
What do you think? That little shade?
That wasn't a little shade. That wasn't a little shade. I like Kentucky. I like watching Kentucky play. Is Kentucky beatable?
Yeah.
Eventually.
I mean,
I don't think it's going to be this tournament.
You think they're going to win it all undefeated?
Yeah.
There's a lot more to winning it all than just being the best team out there.
Yeah. I mean, but that's just it. They are the best team out there right now to me. They are. They, from all aspects, they are the best team out there.
I'm hearing one of the best teams ever to play the game in the country.
Yeah.
That's always the RU, though. Did you see that SMU and UCLA? Goaltending.
No.
SMU supposedly got robbed.
Yeah, I did not get to see that game.
They did.
Did they?
I think they did.
I have to go back and look at some video.
Yeah, I mean,
get to see that game.
It's March Madness. These kids, like you said, they done fought and scrapped.
Mm-hmm.
And some have won their tournaments or they've won enough games to get into it. And you hate to see them lose it on a bad call.
Yeah. I mean, I hate any team losing on a bad call just because at that point, officials should just be removing themselves. You don't make a call like a goaltending when it's going to be a game decision.
But, I get that. Yeah, and that's true. You don't want to see them lose it like that. But SMU put themselves in that position.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed UCLA to get back. They had a nice lead, I want to say 12, 14 points, and they allowed UCLA to get back in it.
Yeah.
So they deserve a slap on the hand as well. But
yeah, yeah. I just, I I just hate, at that point, that's when me and the whole officiating part of it comes in, that when it comes down to them game deciding calls, sometimes you just got to remove yourself from it. I'm sorry.
No, that's what, I don't like instant replay because that slows up the game. And I really don't know how it would be effective in basketball because it would completely slow the game up.
Yeah.
You know, because you would literally have to stop the clock, go over to the, then you have to find out who got the ball back. And
well, the thing is, though, that, but then on the flip side, oh my goodness, who was it playing? Who were, oh, the Ohio State game.
Okay.
When they went to the instant replay.
They got beat by a better team. Ohio State got beat by the better team.
Yeah. When they, it was a kid that went up for a rebound. This was Friday night's game.
Okay.
I mean, kid went up for a layup. Clearly flagrant foul. Just elbowed Russell.
Yeah, Russell.
You bleed, you know, in the eye, bleeding. Yeah, had to get some stitches, that. Everything else like that.
Tough kid.
Tough kid. Wish you know, came back and whatever. But, you know, they had to go look at it, the film, because initially on the shot, it just looked like
a tough,
you know, good shot, you know, a good layup, whatever. But, you know, when you come down and the player bleeds, you got to come back and look.
What made him bleed?
So they were able to go to the instant replay to see and to determine whether or not it was a flagrant one or two. So for those type of things, those questionable calls, yeah, I think it is. I mean, for the team that has the momentum, it's a downfall.
It's a down, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because speaking of Ohio State, you know, I'm gonna start bringing in a segment in here that, you know, I keep my Facebook page and I want everybody to do my Facebook, Steve Hartley, Your Sports Guru. And, you know, we have hot topics on there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the hottest topics that I put on was yesterday after the Ohio State loss.
Yeah.
I got a lot of conversation about this one. Is it time for Thad Model to go? And you know, I felt one way. I felt like it really was, but I had some former teammates and some guys, and I listened to their comments. I do. I listened to comments objectively. They were making some great points.
Yeah.
As for reason that Thad should stay.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, sometimes, man, you got to make a change. What do you think
about
that?
But do you really think it's time for the change now? I mean, that was just it.
I mean,
I don't.
There's a fine line between
bad run. I mean, I think he needs to look in, you know, helping with recruiting.
There's a fine line, but if you can't recruit well, then should you be a head coach, or should you just get that banger one of your coaches and go get everybody?
Yeah, I mean, but thing is, I was like, keep in mind, you know, every Division One team has a recruiting coordinator that is not the head coach. Okay?
Agreed.
And that head coach is was trusting that he's, you know, because most of the time it's the assistants that are going out in the field and looking for the talent.
Yeah.
And then they'll come back and report to the head coach and say, hey, I think we need to check this player out. So that's why I'm saying maybe, you know, he's trusting them to.
I mean, it's just it's a fine line.
He needs to take a front line to it.
As far as for coaching.
As a head coach.
As a head coach, it's a fine line between being there too long and the organization, the university, not showing enough faith in you.
Yeah.
To giving you time. Okay. He's had a nice stretch here. He's the Ohio State men's basketball winning his head coach.
Yes.
That's a big accomplishment.
It is a big accomplishment.
You know, he came from, wasn't it Xavier? So he was in Ohio. I believe he was at Xavier.
Yeah.
So he's been here. I think it was 298. He might be real close to 300 now.
Okay.
But a place like Ohio State, is it? We can get somebody.
We can get anybody we want at Ohio State. But that's just it. I don't think. Now, if we have this season.
Next year.
Then I think that discussion needs to be brought up again. But to me, this is really the only. No one had the expectations. They had some hard games, you know, that to me, that was just goes back to that whole heart thing because they just couldn't finish games.
You know what I heard from a well-respected coach of mine?
Mm-hmm.
He said that if you come to Ohio State with Coach Thad Mata And if you come into the program without a jump shot, without a post move,
yes,
without not being a great free throw shooter,
mm-hmm.
it's a strong possibility you're going to leave without being able to do those same things.
Yeah, with a bad coach.
That's coaching,
isn't it? That is. That's coaching.
I like him. I do. I like him as a player. I mean, as a coach. I think he's good for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, you know, hey.
Well, everybody wants to win. I mean, that was just it. And the thing about it, though, is that might have had the disadvantage of coming into this season after the undisputed national championship football team, and he had to follow that. You know, so everybody had this wrestling team won, so they was good. But that's just it. So wrestling team felt that heat too. We gotta win a championship.
Yeah,
you know, the football program can't be, and that's just it. So I think people had more expectations than maybe were fair for the team that they had this year, expecting them to move further into the tournament.
Russell's gone. And I hate that, man.
I hate that. I mean, and I was just
he's a great talent, man. Just imagine if he stayed there and developed till his junior year, how good he could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once he hit the
NCAA weight, has their way.
Yeah, he's never going to leave.
That's going to change. I ain't going to never be able to leave. But that's just that it was like, I don't believe he's going to stay. No. If he stays, I'll be completely shocked.
No, he's not. I mean, you go to college to get a great job.
Well, I mean, that's what my daddy always told me. You go to college to enhance your earning potential. That's what they tell us.
1 year,
you can't make no money with just a high school degree. You go to college to enhance your earning potential. So if the NBA is coming to my child and saying, yes, you have the potential to make this many million dollars.
And we are offering you this many million.
And we're offering you this many.
Let's go, son.
Hey.
You can always go get your education.
You ain't gonna get that job downtown.
You can always go back and get your education.
That was one thing I keep on telling people. The classroom is always gonna be there.
And I would advise some people to do that.
I advise every player to do that in the off season. You take them classes with the internet now and online classes and everything else like that. You could possibly do it during the season to take, you know, a class during the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, with courses,
that'll be some discipline.
I mean, it takes some discipline, but there ain't going to be no more discipline. I mean, that was just it. To me, you got less time to yourself when you're in college than you do as a pro.
Yeah, really.
So that was just it. But I definitely believe they should all go back to get that degree, because eventually your knees, your ankles, your something going to give out, or just age is going
to
catch up with you.
You need to keep
to have that back, you know, something to fall back on, and that's that education.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I actually read an article that someone had pointed out. It was a former Vikings player, just wrote a math, paper.
Okay.
And they talked about how we don't point that out.
To go back and get that
education? Well, no, not about that, just that, you know, the media is so concerned about showing the negative. Or, you know, the dumb jock theory.
Yeah, they don't really
that
focus
they
on.
Don't even realize
yeah,
there are some real intelligent
really
athletes out there.
You're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right about that.
But yeah. So when it comes to Ohio State's with Thad Mata, I think he just got a bad season to not have a good season coming behind the football, you know, success. So
we're gonna see. You know, and like I said, if we're having the same conversation next year. If we're having the same conversation next year, then what? Then we'll address it again.
Then we can talk about it.
The ladies. We can't forget about the ladies.
The NCAA
Women's Division I tournament is underway.
Yes. Ohio State on the women's side were able to take their first win against James Madison, 90-80.
Do they really have a shot? I mean, literally. They're the fifth.
The thing is, though, that to me.
With the ladies, it pretty much comes down to Duke.
When they're on.
To Duke?
UConn. And actually, South Carolina. South Carolina.
Dawn Staley.
Dawn.
I like Dawn.
Oh, I love her. And loved her as a player.
Yeah, she's tough. I like her.
And I definitely love her as a coach because she's taken those girls far.
Yeah.
So the thing about it, though, is that with Ohio State, everybody has to be on for them to get further into that tournament.
No, they're you know, they might be outmatched with North Carolina. I don't think so.
The disadvantage they have there is that they're playing on North Carolina's home court.
I mean, I like, you know.
You know, home court advantages.
I mean, but sometimes I like playing on the road. That gets you up on your game.
Because
you have to focus and you have to, especially at this point of the season, it's just us against everybody. You know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's sometimes.
And the thing about it, like I said, when it comes to Ohio State, everybody's going to have to step up. And now yesterday, Alexa Hart, who has my heart, she's a Afrocentric grad. She is a true freshman playing she is a starter for Ohio State. She actually had close to a triple-double yesterday in that win. She had 20 points.
True freshman?
True freshman. Ah. She is a 2014 graduate.
Ah.
She had 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 7 blocks. To see this girl block, you were
What's
just in
size?
Awe. Alexa is about 6'3". Ohio State actually has managed to be able to put some weight on her because she's very
training
thin.
Training table. It's a lot of potatoes and
some carbs in. Real tough. So I think they've been able to add like about 15 pounds to her.
Wow.
But strong.
You know,
her
they got
timing
the
on those blocks is just tremendous.
You know, they put the freshman 15 on you anyway when you go to college.
Yeah.
It's burgers, pizzas, fries.
Yeah. When you're an athlete, you don't always get that. But it's one of the things. But yeah, so if Alexa and we have another because, you know, we talked about AAU in the previous segments. They are all on an All-Ohio black team. Alexa and what's her name out of Cincinnati? Another girl out of Cincinnati. She's like point guard. And I can't think of her name right now. Just can't think of her name. But the thing about it, though, is that she needs to step up. To me, she was just a little reserved yesterday.
You're going to see. Because if they, you know, if they're fortunate enough to beat the North, I mean, there's a lot of competition out there. I'm looking at it.
Of course.
You know, it's
the
Maryland.
Women's game. I mean, think about it. So sad. Of course, the women's game completely gets overshadowed because, you know, March Madness and that type of thing with the women's tournament. But I'm sorry, people. Y'all got to watch these games.
Duke playing Mississippi State. South Carolina is playing Syracuse. Arkansas, Baylor. Dayton is in it again. Dayton got a good program going on down there. The men and the women's program are.
Yeah.
They're playing against Kentucky, the ladies, Louisville, South Florida, Iowa, Miami. No, Iowa beat Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Miami's out of the Big Ten is still. You know, there's some good ladies. And we can, UConn, what can you say? UConn and Notre Dame, still the highlight of the country to me.
I mean, thing is, like I said, UConn's always exciting to watch. UConn was actually happy to see Tennessee get back in it. They had that little slump.
I watched
Pat
Tennessee
Summit.
A lot.
I've been a diehard lifetime Tennessee women's and Pat Summit. They actually showed her she was at the game yesterday, and so it was kind of like bittersweet. Like, get on out there on the court, coach. You know,
coach
so
them girls.
Need you to coach. Get out there and coach them. You still got it. But yeah, so big ups to Tennessee to be able to try to get back up on that top. You know, in the women's game. So,
well, like you said, to everybody out there, if you're not watching the women's game, man, I know it's a lot of basketball out there.
You know, everybody,
you're missing it.
ESPN on your internet, you can watch them on ESPN. You can watch them on your phone.
Hey, and you know
everything.
What, miss? I ain't mean to cut you off, but I gotta give my wife a shout out.
Oh,
because she has allowed me to watch March Madness uninterrupted since it first began. She wanted to do things. She wanted to go out and have a nice dinner, but she allowed me to do that. I got the best wife in the world.
Okay, well. You have him Monday through Friday this week. So fit it in.
We're going to make it happen.
You got it.
I'm
going to
make sure she
has
a good time. I'm going to spend some time with her.
Yes.
Miss, it's on you. Mrs. Minute, what's going on in the high school sports?
High school sports. We went into the weekend with the City League looking like they were actually prone to be able to have a regional champion in each of the four divisions. Division 1, 2... 3 and 4. Northland was a Division 1 Well, actually, I'll start off with Division Four because they started off
first. We talking boys or girls?
Boys.
Okay.
This was the regional championships for the boys this weekend.
Okay.
The boys, we had Afrocentric play, and I'm talking about Columbus City League.
Okay.
Afrocentric, it was a rematch from last year's regional final, played Harvest Prep, which is another Central Ohio team. They played down at OU Friday. I traveled down there to see the game. They fought tough. They were going back and forth. And then finally, really in that late in the third, early in the fourth, it just seemed to be that Afrocentric was kind of forcing shots. And they couldn't drop them. And I swear, throughout the whole game, the only thing I heard was David Dennis Jr. from Harvest Prep. He was putting everything down. Everything he put up, he was dropping. Anytime he went for a layup, it was an and one. He was tremendous to watch. So I look forward and wish Harvest Prep all the success in the state tournament, which will start this Thursday at the Shot. In Division Two, we did have some success. Walnut Ridge was able to pull it off, and they will be heading to the state tournament this week for the first time since 71, I read.
When is the state tournament?
The state tournament starts this Thursday.
Okay.
They'll have, you know, like I said, it's the Final Four for each division. And
championships like Saturday.
Championships are like usually split up. There's two games on Thursday, two games on Friday. It's usually divisions 3 and 4 on Thursday, and then divisions 1 and 2 on Friday evening. And then they turn around and play all the championships on Saturday.
Okay.
And so, like I said, it's at the Shots. Tickets are still available if you want to head over to the Shots.
I'm about to make it down there.
There are going to be some exciting games. We also have another city league. Eastmore was able to pull it off. Yes.
Come on, Eastmore.
Come on, boys. Yes, City League was representing this weekend. Eastmore defeated Portsmouth 49-45 to take that regional championship. So they'll be playing for the Division III title. And then on the Division I, we had a big game down at the fairgrounds. They actually changed it. You know, when we were growing up, all the games were at the fairgrounds leading up to the state.
Mm-hmm.
But now they changed it this year where Division I regionals are the only games that are being played at the fairgrounds.
Okay.
And so we had a matchup with two local teams, Northland High School from the City League and Westerville South.
Okay.
And from what I was trying to get updates while on the road back from Toledo and getting updates, they were back and forth, but then Westerville was able to pull away and take the Westerville South was able to pull away to get the victory 70-63. So they'll be playing I was kind of bittersweet. Of course, I love the City League, but see, I have who I consider family that plays for Westerville South.
Okay.
His mom and I, his grandma and my mom have been lifelong friends. And so they've been around and in my life for a very long time. And Jordan Humphrey is the real deal.
Okay.
And so, so I'm happy to see him move on and get that success. And hopefully they can get that title this weekend.
Yeah, they, the city impressed me.
Oh, I was very impressed with the city. I was very, like I said, with that change in the divisions, that helped them to get a little success. And actually, you know, coaches can pick which district they want to go to or what region that they're going to play to, because, you know, we can choose. You know, Eastmore was playing down at OU.
Okay.
It was a disadvantage, of course, to the fans.
Yeah, because
to make that travel, because, you know, here, like on Friday night, we had two Central Ohio teams playing for the regional championship, and it's an hour and, you know, 15, half hour, depending on how you drive. I was actually able to make it in about hour and 20. And that was just it. So I really wish they would think about that when it comes to those, the way it's set up, because the fans, like
lose.
I said, they lose. The fans lose out not being able to be in the game. You know, some advantages we did have, Afrocentric and both, of course, Harley Prep had fan buses to be able to go down there, to be able to have that big student section and everything else. So that was a good thing.
Okay.
But, yeah, but this is just an exciting time, of course, for the high school. The girls' state championship was aired on Saturday. And I have to be completely honest. Like I said, I was on the road yesterday.
Yeah, so yeah.
So you, I wasn't been able on to the get. Road with, I've been on the road all weekend.
Since you've been doing that, let us know about what's going on. Darius taking some visits.
Darius is taking some visits.
Let everybody know who he is. She okay. got a six.
I got
foot
my sign
monster.
Actually. That was just that we got on a scale and got measured yesterday. And Darius is 6 foot five and a half and 323.
Okay.
323 now.
Big boy.
Been lifting, you know, doing a lot of lifting. So that muscle is building up and everything else like that. But he went on a visit. University of Toledo had a recruiting day.
Okay.
I drove him and a teammate up there to be able to participate.
You know I went to
Bowling
Green, though, right?
Huh?
You know I went to Bowling Green, though, right?
I know. Okay. I know.
Just
and that was
know.
Just it. We're going all around.
As long as you know.
That was just it. We're going all around. BG is probably going to be the next visit because that was just, you know, Darius has had offers from all three of those so far.
Okay.
Well, University of Toledo, BG, and Kent State. He's had offers. His teammate, Austin, who is a junior, who's going to be getting down to that, you know, decision-making time, actually has been offered by every MAC school.
Huh?
I think he has like 18 offers right now. Every MAC school, he's a cornerback.
Okay.
Boston College, Missouri, Wisconsin,
Central Ohio.
Oh yeah, we got some good ballers and everything else like that. So
football, basketball, baseball.
That
track.
Was just it. We got some wonderful athletes coming out of Central Ohio, and it's going to be exciting for him to see them play. But yeah, so I was on the road there. Like I said, my son, my man child, he's going to be keeping me busy, and keeping me on the road.
Man.
So I'm trying to work it out where I am back here in the studio every Sunday.
Hey.
But
and I went to watch him, man. I went to see them when they played Hartley.
Yes.
Because, you know, Alonzo's son was at
yes.
Hartley.
Uh-huh.
He came in, but big up to Alonzo. Man, child's a big boy, man. I mean, just literally, like, I walked
just a
past
big,
him.
I mean, think about it, though.
He's
that
a big guy.
And he had the advantage of my four children. He actually got the speed. He got his mama's speed. So not only is he a big boy, he can move, and that's a scary combination.
Oh,
you know, like I said, to be 6'5 and a half and now 323, that's a lot moving when he can run about a 12-200.
Yeah, man, that's Division I. I call him my future first-round draft pick.
So, yeah, so it's an exciting time for us. You know, it's early in the process for us. We'll be going up to Cleveland. Next month, at the end of next month,
what do
for
you
the
talk
Rivals
to him about?
Camp.
What do you talk to him about? I know because you know. For those
what
that
I talked
don't
to them
know,
and actually what I
coach.
Talked to both of them about was get as many visits as you can. It's okay. More than just the recruiting coach that's coming.
You
to
get
see
five
you.
Official visits.
You get five
you
official visits.
You
can take. Like Austin will be able to start his official visits this fall. It's like October 15th of your final year that you can start scheduling your official visits.
You can go anywhere on your own.
But you can go, well, the thing is, you can go anywhere unofficial, and you can go as many times for the unofficial visits, and that's why I encourage them to do, especially for the teams that are within driving distance. You know, let's get in the car and let's go.
Yeah, grab your coaches,
the coach
grab
call.
All your seniors.
Yeah,
and
that was just
it.
Let's
juniors.
Get in the car and go, because it's more than just the football team that you are need to be looking at. It's more than just that recruiting coach that's coming to visit with you,
yeah.
Or even a head coach. Like I said, coaches will be able to come to Austin, to his home, and meet with his parents this fall, you know, once you become a senior. And for that type of thing, but it's more than that. You need to walk on campus. You need to get a feel of the campus. You
if
need
you
to
like
possibly rub elbows with some of the players, see whether or not their personalities mesh with yours.
Yeah,
you know, that
more.
Was one of the things. There is a lot more to it because we all know coaches change.
Yeah.
You know, my oldest son had a disadvantage when he was going into school. He signed that letter of intent in February. A month later, the coach that recruited him took another position. 2 months after that, the defensive coordinator
left. That happens.
And then 2 weeks before they were supposed to report to camp, the head coach got fired.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
So, I mean, so he was kind of stuck there, you know, his first
that
year
like
and
me.
Everything else like that. So, but that was just it. So that's why I encourage every player that's in this situation, in this recruiting process, and parents too, go for them visits. Talk to them coaches personally.
Yeah, and sometimes you can't limit yourself in position.
You can't limit yourself into position. And a lot of times, like I said, if the coach is true to himself, he's going to tell you where he sees you. You know,
That changes.
My child, Darius, is, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. But I don't know. There may be some coaches who might see him on the offensive side of the ball because of, you know, his size.
2 weeks before I reported to camp, I was already signed, sealed, and delivered. You know, I'd have been packing and getting stuff all summer. I get a phone call and say, hey, Steve, we're not going to let you play running back. You're going to play strong safety. I was devastated.
I bet.
I was devastated.
I bet.
You know, it took me 2 years to learn the position.
Yeah. And that was just it, because it was already enough that my son was learning a different position, because he was in a disadvantage because he was one of the bigger kids on his team. He was paying that inside lineman type position, you know, on both sides of the ball.
Okay.
But then when he got to that collegiate level, he had to learn the defensive end position.
The game changes.
And so, yeah, the game changes, and that was just it. So, like I said, when it comes to that, that's what we are going to be doing probably for the next 6 months is me being on the road or trying to visit some school to go in there. And
you keep us posted all the way through
this
whole process.
I will definitely keep you posted. I told them between AAU tournaments with my daughter, we're going to try to figure out what schools are near them AAU tournaments, and that's what we're going to go visit.
Wow.
So, yeah, but like I said, track season is also starting for me, so I think I don't have a weekend available from here till June.
Yeah, and I got you Sunday, so you signed up.
I don't have a Saturday available from here to June between track meets and AAU tournaments. So, yeah, so it's going to be a busy time, but I love this time of year.
Enjoy.
I'm excited with this process that my son is going through now.
Enjoy.
It's an exciting process for him. And like I said, I just asked all the right questions.
Yeah. Had a great show today, miss.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it today. Let everybody know how they can reach you. They can keep this conversation going. And how they can email you with the Yellow Sky Foundation. Let everybody know.
Okay. You can reach me, of course. I am on Facebook. I am the only Miss Mullins. Miss is my first name, for those who may not be aware. You can also reach me on my foundation email. If you want to hit me up with an email, it's yellowskyfoundation@gmail.com. You can also hit me on Twitter at Miss Mullins. I'm always around. You can also, of course, hit me up through Sporting Goods 365, because I am always here. Of course, I am always a big fan of the high school sports, but right now I'm trying to get back to some basketball.
And I am Steve Hartley, your sports guru. You can follow me on Twitter, your sports guru. Follow me on Facebook, your sports guru. You can send me an email at guru@thesportinggoods.com. You can follow this conversation on Just Talk Radio with the TuneIn app. If you miss it today, you can hit the rebroadcast on Blog Talk Radio every Monday, between 7 and 8. I want to thank everyone for tuning in with us, and we will see you at the same time next week.